Okay, now we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going off-piste. It's going to be great fun, okay? Just watch out for the rocks and that cliff. Oh, and those bears. Ready?
Yes, it's that time of the week when we take you to a brand new world. This time, we're heading into the jungle.
After an hour, I found on the forest floor the rinds and cores of durian fruit, which I knew was the favorite food of the orangutan. I showed it to the dyak who had come with me, and he confirmed what I had hoped. The way in which it had been chewed showed that it had been eaten by an orangutan. One must have been here early this morning.
As a young David Attenborough, in 1956 actually, looking for an orangutan in the jungles of Indonesia, his search proved successful that time, although it could have just as easily not been so. Today, there are less than 14,000 Sumatran orangutans in the wild. Fortunately, though, for the people of the forest, which is a literal translation of their name that, they have help in Leif Cox. Leif is a West Australian with over 30 years of experience in campaigning for orangutans and is the founder and president of the Orangutan Project. He's learned how zoos can take better care of them. And most interestingly, he believes that orangutans deserve the same rights of personhood as you and I. And even won a case in Argentina proving exactly that. Leif joins us now from Perth. Hi, Leif.
Hi, good to be here.
You started your career working at the Perth Zoo. What made you connect with the orangutans so powerfully as opposed to, say, the elephants there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always loved all animals, including elephants, which we also work with now. However, when I was working as a zookeeper, I did find out that orangutans really like me. And so I was able to do things and look after them and give them a better quality of care and a better future because I could build a very strong trusting relationship with the orangutans.
Had no one attempted that before, building that trusting relationship? Were they just seen as yet just another kind of animal or?
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, you know, because we have a natural prejudice because they're not our species, we naturally don't see them as persons. We see them as, you know, animals and in fact, property. But what I discovered working closely with them is despite them not being human, they're actually persons with the same sentience, self-awareness and personal autonomy that deserves them to have the same rights as us.
Well, it's interesting that you say they're not our species because if it's my understanding that in the animal kingdom, they are the closest to our species. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Actually, gorillas, bonobos, and chimpanzees are actually genetically closer.
Okay.
However, orangutans are more intelligent and in a lot of ways in their behavior a far more noble creature than even humans in the fact that they're far more less aggressive and thoughtful than the other great apes, including us.
And you call them persons in your own way, and which I find interesting because what have the reactions been to that, to your stance on this issue?
Mostly with disbelief, but I give the example of when they wrote the American Declaration of Independence. These were great men of their time, and they wrote, it's self-evident that all men are created equal. Self-evident means they didn't have to explain it. However, they kept slaves. And what was more astounding is the persons that shared their beds and raised their children, women didn't get equal rights. And some say not even equal rights now, but they didn't get the vote until the 1920s, 30s in America.
So your argument then is that it's only a matter of time before we even start considering great apes as humans or as persons?
Exactly. With the moral development of society, we always have a block where we consider things which should be similar to us as other. Used to be people of different skin color or different sex. Yeah, or even different religion. Yeah, but as we expand our morality, we will more intuitively discover that there's other beings on the planet that deserve the same rights and autonomy than we give to ourselves.
Well, it does sound like a fairly controversial statement, but it was one that was backed up by the law in Argentina, if I understand correctly. Can you just take us a little bit through that case? How did that occur?
Yeah, because when you're talking about someone being a person, You would then have to compare them to the only other persons which are recognised, which are human beings of our species. And the process is to say, well, if you know, what is the argument that these other than species are different to us, i.e., for example, orangutans are self-aware. They have the theory of mind, which means they understand others have a mind with a different viewpoint, and they have a plan ahead. And of course, just like all animals, they suffer and they seek pleasure and they seek comfort, just as we do. And so, any objective assessment would say that they're persons, but it takes time to take people through that prejudice to actually see that.
You're on RN Sunday Extra, and I'm Sammy Shaw, filling in for Jonathan Green. And I'm speaking with the president of the Orangutan Project, Leif Cox. Leif, there's been a great deal of problems with their natural habitat in the jungles and such. How is the conservation effort going there?
We've really got our backs up against the wall. We're fighting what I call the scraps of remaining forest. Wilderness, you know, in vast quantities simply doesn't exist anymore. And so the next 5 to 10 years is a determining factor whether we can bring the orangutans, tigers and elephants, the megafauna of Indonesia, back from the brink of extinction to have sustainable, viable populations. So the main game is, at the moment, as always, is number one is protecting enough viable habitat, and secondly, to prevent poaching of the populations. But we really need all the help that we can at the moment. Otherwise, it may be too late.
And what form does that help take traditionally? Is it just financial donations, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's best to describe what's actually happening. I mean, people just think it's wildlife versus people or the environment versus economy. And these are, you know, dichotomic arguments which are simply not true. We're looking for sustainable economies, sustainable agriculture, win-win for people and wildlife. And that is vastly achievable. So what's actually happening is multinationals are raping Indonesia, and extracting resources, and they're doing that by unsustainable, unviable forms of agriculture, which will leave Indonesia an economic and environmental basket case, as well as obviously contributing to more global warming than all the transport systems well combined, you know, through the destruction of the rainforest. And so what we need to do is, you know, in a sense, we need to, through the courts, through public awareness and direct action on the ground, i.e. leasing the land ourselves, protecting our land ourselves, protect enough viable ecosystems for the long-term sustainable economy of Indonesia, the agricultural needs of environmental services, the rights of poor indigenous people who are displaced in this process. And in particular, what we're talking about is the wildlife, such as orangutans.
When you talk to people, do they know about the plight of the orangutan, for example, or is there do you have to completely start from beginning to explain what's happening there?
Yeah, I mean, one of the frustrations is we often, as you see, you know, we get our information about exotic wildlife from, you know, our TV shows, and it's very African centric. And I often say, for example, you know, we're also working with International Elephant Project to save the Indonesian Sumatran elephant. And we would say the African elephant's worst case scenario is our best case scenario. You know, we're down to 1,200 elephants and, you know, them being, you know, one or two being killed a week. You know, we would, our fantasy is we would get to Africans' worst case scenario. What people don't understand is wildlife conservation and being at the brink of extinction is so much more urgent in the Asian context. However, we don't get the publicity and therefore the funding which the African species do get.
Have things improved at all since you started? You've been doing this for 30 years now. You've rehabilitated orangutans and reintroduced them into the forest. Do you see a reason to be optimistic?
I believe we can do it, and it's eminently doable. As I said, often is like for the cost of one day's war, you know, we can solve the conservation problem forever. So just give up killing somebody, everybody for just one day and the problem solved. So in the big picture of the world economy, it's a very small amount of money will give a great deal of good to a great deal of many people, including the wildlife. We've just got to gain the political impetus and the support from people to allow that to happen.
So what's next now for the Orangutan Project?
Well, our vision at the moment is to save 8,000 orangutans in viable populations by protecting the habitat and stopping poaching in those areas. So what we want to do is move from having to support rescue, rehabilitation and reintroduction, yeah, to move to, you know, slowly, you know, dealing with that of the human compassionate aspect of having to deal with these persons who are greatly suffering. But moving our resources into leasing land, purchasing land, and protecting land, so we have enough viable populations of orangutans under our protection to ensure the species will survive.
Thank you, Leif. That was Leif Cox, founder and president of the Orangutan Project, speaking to us from Perth, where he's fundraising currently.